What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Disney Movie News. We have so much to talk about tonight. We got Mulan casting, Incredibles trailer, and a review of Coco. So hold on to your butts.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Disney Movie News.
Silent partying. It doesn't quite make as much, it's not as hype when there's no noise except for Sarah doing that.
Hey guys, welcome to Disney Movie News. I'm Sarah Sterling, and this is Disney Movie News on Popcorn Talk. You can follow the Popcorn Talk at Popcorn Talk on Twitter and at Popcorn Talk Network on YouTube. And I'm on Twitter at Sarah Sterling _. Who do we have here? OG3?
I'm OG, the OG3.
OG3!
We're here together. And I'm Leo Camacho, and you can follow me at Mr. Leo Zombie on Instagram. Or, you know, just at Leo Zombie on the Twitter.
Death Nash. Hey guys, missed you all. My name's Keaton, and you guys can follow me all over the interwebs at Keaton Markey.
To all the people in the chat already worried about our Coco review, we will do it at the end.
Yeah, we don't ever do
so
that.
So that if you haven't seen it, you don't have to miss the episode, so don't worry. All right? Got it? Good. All right, guys. How you been?
Sorry, it's been a long day.
Happy belated Thanksgiving to everybody.
Happy belated Thanksgiving. Yeah, it's been a minute since we've been in here because we had, 2 weeks off now? Because we weren't here last week. Were we here the week
no,
before?
No, the week before. Remember, I went to go see
we
Coco.
We saw Coco.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, that's right. We were seeing Coco. So, yeah, it's been a minute and it's been a long day. Mm-hmm. But we're here now, ready to talk about some Disney. I've been waiting for Disney movie news. I feel like, God, I feel like I've been missing the fam. Mm-hmm. But we've got
I was so 3 weeks tired to catch up today. On. I was so tired because I'm on East Coast time.
Yeah.
And I did not, I was watching Once Upon a Time, the 2 hour special from last week. And I just finished. And I was like, all I want to do right now is go to bed. But I was like, but there's so much Disney movie news.
There's so much
to talk about.
So much. And I hosted another live stream show earlier today. Every Wednesday, now I'm going to have two because I have another one now where I host, it's like a retro show. We play like retro
games. Yeah. So much fun.
It is cool. It's like cool because that's like my other love, you know? But that drive from freaking Venice Beach to here.
Oh, no.
Girl, it's brutal. So sorry, guys. I'll like snap out of it as soon as we get into the news.
So much news, though.
Yeah, there's tons of news.
Sarah?
It's just so funny because like some of this is like, oh my God, I forgot this happened. It feels so long ago at this point. Like, I know. Disney, we've been long hearing about their upcoming streaming service, the Disney streaming service. They announced it's going to be less expensive than Netflix. They also announced Star Wars series, a Monsters, Inc. inspired series, mm-hmm. and a High School Musical series that will be coming to their streaming service.
What was the first one?
Star Wars.
Star Wars, yeah.
Do you think it will be live action?
Yes.
Oh, it's the Star Wars?
Definitely.
For sure.
They've already got two animated series under their belt, so it would only make sense.
Actually, like,
technically
look,
three.
They're like, look what we did with Marvel. We're going to do it with Star Wars now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. What I was going to say is part of the statement they say that they issued when they said that it was going to be cheaper than Netflix was because they wanted the price to reflect the content. And since they know that initially they're not going to have not nearly the volume that Netflix or Hulu is going to have, it's going to be more cost efficient for you so that you can afford both at the beginning. And mm-hmm. then I'm sure as the library grows, we may see an increase in price, but it won't be immediate at all.
I'm sure as contracts are up with other streaming services such as Netflix, and they take the Jessica Jones and the, you know, all of those shows, the Daredevil, they take mm-hmm. all those commodities back and only allow them on their services. They're going to jack up their prices.
But even, like, let's say they took everything back, it's a Disney library, which is extensive for sure, but that's really only at, what, like 50-some-odd movies? And then, if you count only the animated ones, I guess. And then, no, they have a ton. They're not going to put everything out there. What?
Which one are you talking about, Hulu or
if now? They, like, no, the Disney one. If they put, like, every Disney...
ABC?
But they're not going to do that. Oh, you think they'll put the ABC shows in there?
Eventually. This is just the way for ABC to be like, CBS, you weren't good at creating a streaming service. Watch and learn.
Are you saying your point was they don't have that many animated movies?
No. I meant like out right now, like on these services.
Oh, they definitely don't have the majority of the ones that they've made out.
But also, they're not going to launch the service to put every single movie out on it either.
No, so, they would like stagger.
Right, they're going to rotate them and stuff like that.
Well, and they're back in talks with Fox again, I just saw.
I know.
So, yeah, they are.
That's even more hot commodities. Yeah.
Someone was pointing out that last time we talked about that, I said that they would be owning a share of Hulu. Apparently, they already own a share of Hulu. So they're going to have their hand in every cookie jar.
I just really hope So Weird. I want the entire series of So Weird just so I can watch it and see if it holds up and still scares the crap out of me.
Oh my God, I'm right there with you.
You know, I love that show. I love Fee, that show what was so her much. Name? Fee? Was that her name?
Fiona, yeah.
Yeah, So Weird. My mom would come in and she'd be like, what are you doing? Why are you hiding? I'm like, because it's so scary and I'm watching it alone.
Yeah, ZSB Lou is saying, I heard they're leaving the Marvel series on Netflix, but anything new stays on the new streaming service. That would make a lot of sense. Which, by the way, why would they want to bring it over? You know what I mean? They don't, you know? Like, so
fresh. Yeah, they're still getting,
don't make it all
they're
confusing.
Still even getting that cash money from it, so yeah, they'll be fine. Money.
Are we going to get it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I really like your beanie.
Thanks, it's Sorcerer Mickey.
I really like it.
Thanks.
It looks fantastic.
The biggest news of last week was the teaser trailer for The Incredibles 2.
Big deal.
Do we want to watch it?
I would love to watch it.
Has anyone not seen it?
No, let's do it.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're going to watch it again. Yeah. Here we go. There he is.
He hasn't grown at all.
Nope. Nah, it's still a baby.
Takes place the next day.
The next day. It's like Finding Nemo.
It literally does take place 5 minutes after the first one ends.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Jack Jack. Love him.
Look at Jack Jack. Talk about
epic.
Well, not only epic, but just a terrifying.
Powers!
Child.
Yeah, baby!
That baby laugh, though.
The baby!
What I'm wondering is Jack-Jack going to have a million powers? Or is it, like, as he grows up, they start fading away, and then he gets, like, one power?
Ooh.
I wonder which of the two it's going to be. You know, like, his genes are, like, all in a mix and stuff like that. And then, like, when he hits a certain age, it's, like, only laser beams or only fire.
To be fair, though, Dash had not hit puberty yet, and his powers were already settled. So
no, I know, but, like...
But we don't know when their powers came, and if, like, Dash had super speed, like, lightning bolts and fire.
It's not like the X-Men where it hits at puberty. It's, like, you clearly get them at birth, but you don't... I wonder if that's
Max Morris says he's a jack of all trades.
That's amazing.
Jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades. I want to clarify some things because I've seen so many criticisms since this came out, and it's mostly because of confusion on the part of everybody. So a lot of people are complaining because they're like, it's been 13 years. Why is Jack still a baby?
13 years?
Since the first one came out.
Yeah, but where are they getting that number?
It's been 13 years since the first Incredibles.
I was thinking like in universe time.
No, but that's my point. They've already said this sequel starts 5 minutes after the first one ends.
Yeah.
So, no time has passed. Jack-Jack's still a baby.
Yeah.
The second thing that people seem confused about is they're like, we already knew Jack-Jack had powers. Yes, we, the audience, knew. Helen and Bob don't know.
Yeah.
They were not there. They were gone. The babysitter only knows.
And then they get home, and then 5 minutes later, they know.
Yeah.
It's not like 13 years pass, and they didn't know that their child had superpowers.
I'm just remembering how hard I laughed when I first saw that movie with the babysitter on the phone, because I was a babysitter at the time. Mr. and Mrs., Jack-Jack's doing really weird things. Jack-Jack, and you just like hear like it slowly progress or quickly progress into Jack-Jack destroying everything.
Everything in the universe.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this movie because
they showed
the
us a really cool scene at D23. That's kind of this same scene where Bob is discovering that Jack-Jack has powers. Bob is babysitting Jack-Jack, and he falls asleep, and Jack-Jack fights a raccoon in the backyard. The raccoon is like trying to come inside or something.
Does the raccoon die?
Mm-mm.
It's Disney. Come on, I mean,
he fights him. It's a really epic fight, though. You're going to love it.
Awesome.
Because I love raccoons.
You love raccoons.
Okay.
All right. I saw a big old raccoon on my trip.
Disney Film Facts gives you props for your impression, your babysitter impression.
Your Kari impression.
Oh, thank you.
Your Kari impression was really great.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Anyways, so that happened. That was cool. A little underwhelming, though.
Yeah, it they didn't give us much.
I wish
much.
We got an,
yeah. I mean, you were probably really underwhelmed because you've already seen it. Sarah's like, hey, come
after,
on.
After 13 years, I've been waiting long enough. Give me more than a teaser, please.
It's a teaser. You got to start with a teaser.
Nah.
Anyway, this trailer makes me poop my pants.
Poop right in your pants.
It's wrinkling time.
All right, guys, wake me up when it's over.
Oh, my God.
Who are you? This looks amazing.
I don't know about that. I'm just, every time they say anything, I hear an echo and it just says, Tomorrowland.
I feel like this is going to do what Tomorrowland couldn't do.
They're totally different concepts.
I'm not saying the concept's the same. I'm just hoping
Captain Kirk is in this one.
The same way.
Also,
George Clooney with you.
Based on the classic novel, Tomorrowland.
I should go reread this.
Wrinkle it. You gotta wrinkle it.
She should be Riri Williams instead of Wrinkle in Time.
Not if you use the fifth dimension.
Wrinkle it.
Outside of the rules we know of time and space.
This is really creepy.
So, the ant arrives in my hand instantaneously.
Oh. So you fall into space.
More likely wrinkle it.
Wrinkle it.
Wait, I don't think I've seen this.
No, this is new. I haven't watched this.
Yeah, this is not the first trailer, right?
Yeah, it's a new one.
Queens. Three Queens.
And we're here to help you find them.
Zach Galifianak. Oprah.
In search of warriors. Warriors who serve the good and the light in the universe. You're kidding.
My name's Elle Woods.
I'm kidding.
A little. Like, it's hard?
I'm not.
I don't know who Zach Galifianakis plays.
He plays Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, like he plays Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
Never really.
The only one who can stop
Mindy Kaling.
Is you. Be a warrior.
Be a warrior, yeah.
Lettuce.
Oh!
Look at the lettuce people.
The lettuce people. I'm never going to be able to think of that. I hate you, Leo. Lettuce.
How cool, though, are the costumes of those queens?
Even if you can't see it.
Oh!
Candyland.
The happy medium Zach Galifianakis plays.
That song, like, Sweet Dreams Are Made Up, they use that in so many trailers.
For this.
Huh? Not just for this, I feel like for a ton of other movies.
Well, I would was going to say Suicide Squad really started that trend. Not that it didn't happen before, but Suicide Squad popularized using, like, classic music.
Really? I would say Guardians of the Galaxy did.
In the trailer.
Didn't they use Uga Chuck in the
trailer? They did, but that was, like, because that was the film soundtrack. Like, I feel like Suicide Squad was like, all right, we're just gonna...
It was also on the film soundtrack.
What?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, but, like, the whole soundtrack was not classic rock. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they just used a song from the soundtrack, which was composed of a bunch of different random classic songs. But, like, Suicide Squad using Bohemian Rhapsody for some reason started this, like, crazy trend of everybody doing it all of a sudden. Yeah,
I wonder
probably
if it's the same trailer house, though, that's doing
it,
you know?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they took a cue from Guardians, but I distinctly remember seeing that articles start popping up about it around Suicide Squad's time. Mm. It's not that it didn't happen before ever, but that movie, because it was the second trailer that had Bohemian Rhapsody, and then it got people excited for the movie, where the first trailer that just had like a generic thing that didn't.
Yeah.
So everybody's like, oh, that's the secret. That's why all these movies have been doing great. Just do
this. Put in a song, even though it's a terrible movie.
Anyway, I just read reread Wrinkle in Time, and I have a feeling they have added a lot more to the movie because the plot is very simple.
I'm going to reread
it
now.
It's too simple for a movie,
What's the plot?
The plot is that there's this girl, Meg. She has a little brother named Charles Wallace who's like a kid genius. And she has other siblings. They don't matter. Her mom and dad are scientists. Her dad has been gone for like a long time. And like everyone in the community thinks that he just like abandoned the family. But like their mom won't tell them anything. And they know it's like something bad.
Science-y.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then she meets this like cool kid from school, and they like meet these three witches who are Oprah, Mindy Kaling, and Reese Witherspoon.
Best witches ever.
They call them witches because they don't really understand what they are. And then basically the witches are like, you have to go save your father. And like they transport them to different like planets and realms and like dimensions. And basically there's like this like dark, they just call it like the darkness that's like invading planets, and how like there are people on each planet that are like fighting the darkness
like
off.
I was about to say it's basically the plot of Moana.
And so like her father had been like, you know, his research had been like involved with fighting this like dark force, and he got captured by it. It's super creepy when they go to the planet that like is under the control of the darkness, because like everyone is like mind controlled. It's very like, mm-hmm. like it's really creepy. Anyway, and then I don't want to give too much more away.
Okay, all right.
It's really good, though.
Super Iron Halo. I haven't read the book, but I feel like Mindy Kaling and Reese Witherspoon are miscasting. How can you even make that?
Yeah.
You literally just admitted that you are unqualified to make that call.
Yeah.
So.
And why makes Oprah? Like, why are you okay with Oprah? Oprah's you're okay, not okay with Oprah because she's woman. Oprah.
The thing about the witches is Mrs. Witch, Mrs. What's It, and Mrs. Who.
Who's It's What's It Galore?
Witch, as in like which one, not which, like which, a witch.
Which
one
and who?
Which,
who, and what's it?
Oh, what's it?
And
what's it's not one of them. I would just like
who's
to
playing who.
They're all technically miscast because they're supposed to be super old theoretically.
Oh, that's why Oprah's okay.
But their forms, Oprah's their beautiful. Forms are not their true forms. They change form. Like their true form is like some weird magic horse thing. I feel like it might be the lettuce thing.
Oh, they should have cast Seabiscuit.
Seabiscuit's dead.
Guys, Disney movie news.
So there's no way that they can be miscast because they can take any form that they want.
Okay.
I'm actually really excited for Mindy Kaling to be Mrs. Who because Mrs. Who's the coolest one.
Is it
Mrs. Who? I forget. One of them only speaks in riddles, and it's really
cool.
No,
that's Mindy Kaling's. Mm. Yeah.
And they said at D23 that you were there, right?
Yeah.
They were like, in the book, she speaks in riddles from like classic literature, but then for the movie they like took a lot of other influences like rap songs.
Oh for, my like, gosh.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
She's gonna bust out Alexander Hamilton.
It's possible.
I'm not mad about it. Who's
Tupac.
Oprah?
Tupac Shakur.
She's
just a talk
Mrs.
show
Witch.
Host.
Yeah.
And she gives everybody bees. I don't know.
Y'all are just typecasting Reese and Mindy because I have never been in something like this. Stop being rude.
You guys are weird.
Anyway, I'm super pumped.
I'm not like, that pumped about it, but I will watch it, obviously.
I'm super stoked about it. I'm excited, I think, because I went into Tomorrowland really excited for Disney to take on sci-fi and do it well. And then they didn't
they
do
did
it
not.
Great. They did not give me what I needed and what
this
I wanted.
This is like fantasy sci-fi, which will be interesting. Obviously, they could do sci-fi well.
I just hope the Calvin...
Let's start
no, not it. Calvin. Calvin's... I hope that Charles Wallace is good. Mm-hmm. If Charles... The little boy. If Charles Wallace isn't a good actor, it's going to be terrible. Because Charles Wallace is like a he's freak good. Of nature. He's like a 5-year-old who talks like a 40-year-old like scholar.
Isn't that like smart
does it,
kid?
Does it work in the book?
No, it's like weird, but it's like that's what he is. That's and so he can weird. Also like read people.
Oh.
He's like really perceptive. Yeah.
By the way, I just said that Disney does do sci-fi well because they do Star Wars well. And Tron, you can't argue that Tron was done well because it wasn't. The first 30 minutes of Tron Legacy were done very well, but the rest of that movie is literally you could throw it away. It's completely forgettable. The climax is boring. It's only good until the end of the bike scene, the light cycle scene, and then after that when they go off the grid it's like I'm good. Thanks for that 30-minute
like,
episode
example,
of Tron.
The first time you see Charles Wallace in the books, it's like Meg wakes up in the middle of the night and comes downstairs, and Charles Wallace is like already down there and has already made her hot chocolate because he knew she was going to wake up.
Creepy!
The DGCC is saying, do you think this is saying, I think this would make a better TV show than a movie. What do you
no,
think?
I don't think it even has enough content
that's
for a movie.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like it's too short. But do they go to like different universes and stuff?
In the books, they only go to like
But it's possible to yeah. So then in that case it would be cool, you know.
They're gonna turn this into a freaking series, guys. Just wait. Oh. Like, come on, this is what Disney does.
Well, I mean, they're redoing the Golden Compass, right? Isn't that one?
It's not Disney.
No, I know, but mm-hmm. it's a book that was made into a movie that is.
They're trying to redo Lord of the Rings. Like
that's it.
They already did it well enough. You don't need to do it again.
But we don't know anything about that yet.
It's not going to be the same story.
Yeah, we're probably not going to follow the Fellowship. It's probably just going to take place in Middle Earth. Which, right. honestly, if they do that right,
it's gonna
could be
dope.
Pretty cool.
Okay,
you know,
well.
You know, like if it followed like the Rangers of the North, the Dunedain, if you will. I would be super excited about that. Like, why? Like, why did Aragorn like his whole path of exile? Like, if it followed him, which it could, because he's 80 years old.
There's also multiple Wrinkle in Time books. I just remembered.
There's what?
There's more than one Wrinkle in Time book.
They said there's more rings. I'm like, I know. Tom Bombadil. $10 says Tom Bombadil will be included in the show at some point as a character who just sort of wanders in and out of different random episodes. But he definitely won't execute the same power that he has. It'll be that subtle Tolkien. Anyways, this is not Lord of the Rings movie news.
Anyway.
I love Lord of the Rings. FYI, you guys, me and Sarah, we bonded
over
it. We
love Lord of the Rings. You
that was one later? Of the things. Yeah, I was going to say.
Was that one of the things you guys, like, yeah. Really gotcha?
Well, if you want to hang out tomorrow, we can watch it when I'm doing pin stuff.
Yeah, well, because I have nothing in the evening, so we can. Okay, yeah, maybe we'll live stream while we do it. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
We'll do a Lord of the Rings watch along fellowship, right?
I mean, all my other friends are going to be there. Also,
you look like a Two Towers kind of girl.
Whoa!
You're Return of the King?
No.
You're Return of the King.
Return of the King is stupid. One, I think.
Yeah, my girl. We just had this conversation.
No.
Return of the King.
Sarah loves so bad. All of the closing. Because, you know, like, it closes
emotional payoff after emotional payoff after emotional payoff
that's
after
what,
emotional
that's
payoff
the movie
after
is.
Emotional payoff.
I will say. Can I say one thing?
Say one thing.
Maybe it'll help influence your answer.
No one likes that we're talking
about one this. Redeeming factor of Return of the King that didn't even make the theatrical cut, but is in the extended cut.
The Mouth of Sauron.
The Mouth of Sauron is amazing! One of the best characters in that whole trilogy.
Anyway, we gotta talk about Disney.
Let's talk about
Fellowship of the Ring is the best because it's such a good job setting up all these great characters
also
that, like,
Shire,
most movies suck at because there's too many. But they juggle them perfectly. But then Two Towers is the most epic because
it's a fight scene. It's a two-hour fight scene.
Okay, let's play. Can you spot Leo in this video of Mark Hamill surprising guests on Star Tours?
I've watched it so many times.
Don't blink.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Looks like we're missing someone. Do you know what? The captain did mention something about a special passenger. Oh, and the force is strong with this.
Where's Leo?
And there he is.
That's me. I'm in the cabin with Mark Hamill
and Tiffany Chris.
All of the fam is there. All right, it's over. I'm never in this episode again. Well, we were the very first cabin, which was mostly full of Disney executives, so they didn't use very much footage of it.
Yeah.
That's our boy Dustin right there, that guy.
There's Dustin.
He's the one.
The one that.
Yeah,
the one sitting next
to
him.
Oh, look, there's Mo.
Yes.
There's Mo.
Luke Skywalker, he's sitting right in front of me. I was like,
that guy has the best hair.
I'm gonna ride with you.
The interview. I gotta talk about my interview after.
I almost forgot.
Love her.
May the force be with you.
Yeah. Oh my god.
In my video, I uploaded the whole thing on my YouTube, and on mine, when he says, may the force be with you, and I go, Luke Skywalker and Kate said, may the force be with me.
All right, so Disney set up this publicity stunt at Disneyland. How many weeks ago at this point? Like almost 3 weeks
ago.
3 weeks ago. Where Mark Hamill surprised guests on Star Tours. He did it multiple times for a few cabins of people, and Leo happened to be on one of them.
The first one.
The first one, the test round.
That's right. Yeah, it was amazing. I got to ride Star Tours with Mark Hamill. And then afterwards, they did that interview. Like, you saw that girl was like, this is the best thing. Then when they were talking to me, I'm like, dude, I just rode Star Tours with Luke Skywalker. Mark Hamill's a pop culture icon. He's Luke Skywalker. He's the voice of the Joker. And then, like, everybody gave me these 1,000-yard stares that they were like, what?
Yeah, Leo's interview didn't get used because he mentioned non-Disney.
Well, they didn't use a full interview. They interviewed me for, like, 3 minutes. But
okay,
I was just thinking, I'm like,
the fight you needed.
But I'm like, literally, he's one of the most prolific voice actors in the last 15 years. Like, give the man some props for it. He redefined how we think of the Joker. Nothing, dude. Nothing. I get it. We don't own DC. I get it. Doesn't mean you can't give them props.
Anyway, that happened.
Yes, and you may all tweet at me so that I can divvy out dreams, since I'm living all of your dreams.
Oh my god, Leo. You don't need to be a D about it.
What? Sorry, I'm gonna hold right now.
Yeah, take him down. Take him down a peg.
I don't even know where it is. There we go.
Oh, great, now I can't. Okay, I'll just stay down here for a little bit.
Yeah, just stay down there.
That's where you're in timeout.
Anyway, that's a cool thing that
happened. I can't even, like, lift it if I wanted to.
You have to stand up.
I know.
Oh, my God.
That's what you get. That was Mark Hamill yelling at you.
I think we can move on. We have a lot of other stuff. Okay, well, I plan to do a little review of the Big Hero 6 TV show where they released, like, a... It was a movie,
like
basically.
The way they do it, you know, where it's like, it's technically a movie.
So Leo and I watched it. I put it on the lineup before we watched it because we like watched it and we weren't that crazy about it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
So now we don't have that much to say.
It's definitely targeted at a younger audience. It's not like Tangled, where it's targeted at a younger audience, but it's kind of enjoyable for anybody.
No, I think it is. I just think that this one, I think it was too long.
It was too long. It didn't pop. I was hoping it would pop a little more, you know what I mean?
We just, like, Leo was like, Leo stopped watching it, like, 5 minutes.
Which is saying something, because I love Big Hero 6, you know? But I was like...
At first, I was really excited, because the concept of the whole feature is... The space in between the like Baymax dying like in the vortex and a hero remaking him. It's like what happens in that time when he's remaking Baymax, which I thought was a really cool concept.
Yeah, no, that was cool. But it takes so long for him to become Baymax, though.
Yeah, and so I don't know. We didn't really like it, but I'll give it another try once the like show actually starts.
Once it gets its legs.
I haven't watched it at all.
Yeah, everyone in the chat is like, I had no idea I was already on.
Yeah, that's the thing. The only reason I knew it was out, other than Sarah telling me, which I already knew when you said it, was because I follow Ryan
Potter
on Instagram, and he made a post about it, which is weird because like as he's grown up, he's completely changed. His personality's completely changed from when he originally did the voiceover for Hero. And I'm like, oh, that guy's, you know what I mean? Like he's just like streetwear wearing. Like, foul mouth guy. And I'm also the voice of Hiro Hamada. It's like, okay, weird.
Yeah.
And I kind of hear that. I hear that, like, I love Ryan.
It's on Disney
XD.
Yeah.
I'm like a big fan of him. But it's like, you can definitely hear the shift in his personal life changing the way Hiro speaks, in my opinion.
They changed Honey Lemon's hair to be red.
Oh, yeah, she's a like weirdly like, strawberry redhead blonde girl thing now. Wasabi's jacked.
Anyway.
He's huge.
Wasabi!
We can move on. I feel like... Okay, should we...
Yeah, Potter is the new Beast Boy, by the way.
We're putting Coco at the end, so let's talk about... Yeah, let's talk about Mulan.
Yeah.
This was announced today.
But just finishing that thought, Ryan Potter is Beast Boy in the new Teen Titans live action. So the voice of Hiro is now Beast Boy, which I think is good casting. I think that's a good transition. He went from a little kid to now like playing a teenager with like trying to find himself. Anyways, continue.
And now we have Mulan.
And now we have
Mulan. Does find herself in her epic journey.
We talked
to save
about
China.
Mulan. I don't know how to pronounce her name.
Her name is pronounced Liu Yifei.
Okay.
Liu Yifei.
Yeah.
Liu She's Mulan. Yifei. She's perfect. I'm pumped.
She is dope. She's great. She's first of all, she's in a million kung fu movies. She's been in movies with Jet Li and Jackie Chan. She's a huge star in China. She's a singer.
She's a dancer, too.
She's a dancer. And I know she's a Chinese superstar. And so, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is like, well... You know, what's she going to sound like? She speaks perfect English with a slight Chinese accent.
Wait, can we find any interviews with... I'm just curious
to
what she's
supposed to
her voice sounds like.
Forbidden Kingdom or Magic Kingdom or whatever it is, the movie she was in with Jet Li and Jackie Chan. There's a little interview with her, and you can hear her speak, and it's perfect. You just like a slight Chinese accent, but it's like... she sounds beautiful when she speaks. So, like... I'm really excited to see her play this role because she's done action roles before. She's a martial artist.
I'm so excited because like she's gonna do her own stunts.
Yeah,
most likely.
Stunning.
And like,
she's so pretty. Like to see her get boyed up is gonna be amazing.
I'm excited.
Yeah, no, they couldn't have picked a better Mulan in my opinion.
Where's
she at?
This is one of those cases where like the casting, it's like Jungle Book, the kid that they picked for Mowgli.
So good.
Solid work.
So good.
There she is.
Is that her speaking English?
There she is. Is she speaking English?
If you type her,
I'm not sure.
Type her name and then write the word English. So L I U space Y I F E I. Yeah. And then
I'm
just English.
So excited. As excited as I've been for all the Aladdin casting announcements to come out over the past couple months.
Oh, yeah.
Now that.
But see, like, that one's. I like the casting of Aladdin. I'm not super sold on Jasmine, though.
I would agree with you, but I've been excited about to see kind of that whole movie come.
This is exactly,
this
is
it.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah, she's great. And she's got such like
You're lucky because my character name is Golden Sparrow, and she's very strong
so
and has a very different, strong personality. Because she's the only hero, woman hero in the film, she's the female lead, and she have to be with Jackie, Jet, Michael, all the time.
This is
so
Dragon Ball, the movie, by the way.
Must be very strong.
Dragon Ball, as in Dragon Ball Z.
know, it's...
Yui Fei.
I know, I'm just kidding.
And she is a singer also, and comes from a
Louis
television
Fei.
Series that was popular.
Liu.
So, oh, she gonna sing?
And Hong Kong.
Like Liu.
So her
like
star
Leo.
Is rising there.
She's a new talent.
No, it is. It's L-I-U. Liu.
Talent. On the set, we have Liu. Fun. You know, with Jack, with Jason.
Yeah, what's this movie called? The Forbidden like, Kingdom?
The Forbidden Kingdom.
Forbidden Kingdom, yeah. It's just like weird because the premise follows about it follows a white kid who likes kung fu movies and then like he gets sucked into one.
Oh, that's fun.
It's yeah, but it's like weird that the only reason they were able to make a kung fu movie in the States was by making a white guy the main actor. Yeah, and it's not good. I've seen this movie. I saw it years and years ago. So she's dope. That seems cool. I like her. I like the enemy.
We don't need to talk about Forbidden Kingdom.
I'm just saying like it's a shame, but she has obviously worked. She's like she's a international. You know,
no,
you know, like
she's
going to
be a star,
movies,
and I'm so
movies.
Excited, and I'm so excited they cast a Chinese actress.
Yeah. No, perfect casting, love her.
Perfect.
Give me
I
more.
I think we have to leave the Infinity War coverage to Marvel Movie News.
Why?
Because we have two more huge things we need to discuss, and
well,
we have
what we
10
got.
Minutes.
We'll see what we got.
We have 15 minutes.
We can
let's
do
just do it quick.
We can just show it.
Let's do it quick.
We?
You just want to show it?
Yeah, let's just,
okay,
watch,
let's
and
just
say,
watch
it. Just say we're all hyped
it super
about
brief.
It.
Here we go.
Infinity
I don't
War.
Trust you to keep it brief.
No, I'll keep it brief.
Keep it brief.
Ooh. There was an idea.
Go on for like 10 minutes about it.
To bring together a group of remarkable people.
Sorry, I'm doing Disney Movie News today.
So many of them.
To see if we could become something more.
They went with the love affair with Scarlet Witch and Vision.
So
why isn't he purple?
He can change.
We could fight the battles.
Why has he never changed before?
He has.
He has.
That they never.
Could. Why is she blonde?
Because she's a woman and dyed her hair. Okay, she's not an object that can't change. By the way, this intro with this sketching, I don't like it, but it's like 1,000 times better than the DC equivalent. But they need to come up with something else.
They took out the comic books in them, right?
Yeah,
the comic book was way cooler. But I guess after a decade, it's
Spider
changed.
Senses.
Spider Sense tingling.
Okay. Yes, Tom Holland.
Run from it.
Is Loki going to be bad again in this?
I don't know. He's always good at that.
How do we feel
He's
about
chaotic
his
neutral.
Look?
Looks great.
I wish they would have. I like it. I wish they would have given him a. Know, he looks good. He looks fine. The spider suit's cool. Thanos is good. It's the only way to make a practical fighting Thanos, but I wish he would have had a little more armor. Like, they've been setting him up in that armor for so long. Instead of giving
shield.
Him, like, his workout uniform. So we got Hulkbuster coming in. Captain America beat with beardy aliens. We don't know what they are all about yet. But you gotta have alien hordes to fight.
Taking
there he is moving, removing the gem.
Does that mean Vision's gonna lose all of his vision?
Vision will probably die.
Yeah, Vision's dead.
In the comics, there is a sub-story of Thanos. So what he says there is he says, fun isn't something that you take into consideration when you're changing reality or whatever. He says, but this is putting a smile on my face. There's literally a Marvel series, comic book series, about Thanos collecting all the stones. And he said that once he had like the first three or four or whatever it was, he could have just easily just attained the last one using the other stones.
Guardians!
Don't blame you guys. But he didn't. He manually went and got them because it was like the only fun he had, like, you know, in forever and ever and ever. Thanos is one of, with the Infinity Gauntlet, is one of the most powerful beings other than the Tribunal in the Marvel Universe. So this is going to be really interesting to see how they play this out. Is he going to win? Are they going to fight? Are the Avengers going to take him down? Is he going to kill Vision at the end of the movie? Is there going to be another Infinity
War? Yeah, there's two Infinity War movies.
I'm just saying, like, how
They've
is this going to work?
That.
I know, but how's it going to work out? You know, like, because if he wins, is the universe over? And if he loses...
It's going to end on a cliffhanger.
Yeah. I get it, but
why
like,
are you asking questions?
I'm just proposing all of the possible outcomes for this movie.
What I've heard, like, the most popular theory that Marvel Movie News has is that a lot of people are going to die, and then with the Reality Stone, they're going to, like, reset it back to
Oh, that's interesting. And then Infinity War 2 is going to start with Stan Lee going, "Hey, true believers, welcome to the Marvel Universe reboot."
Yeah, it's going to lead into Battle World and also, like, Secret Wars with Brie Larson and all that.
But will they do Secret Wars? Because...
No, they're definitely.
This
gonna...
is kind of like Secret Wars, isn't it?
No, well, Brie Captain Larson's Marvel. Movie is going to... Yeah, Captain Marvel is going to go more into it, and it's going to be set in the past with
sense.
Nick Fury having two eyeballs, actually. And there's like a...
They're going to de-age him?
They're going to...
Oh, they're going to recast him, I wonder.
And there's also a theory going around that Black Widow's a Skrull already from this point on.
Is that why she's blown now? Okay.
Like around the Captain Winter Soldier, she became a Skrull, I believe.
I don't want to do Secret Wars.
We
a
can't Skrull, get into it.
A Skrull is like basically what Thanos looks like, but that he's not a Skrull. But it's like they have that look. They're like green. They fight the Fantastic Four a lot, but they have like the lines on their chins. And then the Secret Wars is a storyline in Marvel Comics where everyone basically, every Marvel character ever was actually a Skrull because they can change themselves to look like whoever and they can take the powers of whoever.
Oh.
Yeah. It's weird. I hope they don't do that. I think it's kind of clumsy, but it would make sense in a way.
Anyway. I did hear that somebody else said that they thought Black Widow was...
Yeah, Secret Invasion. Sorry, Secret Invasion, not Secret Wars. Secret Wars was the one where Thanos did the planet and invited all the heroes to fight each other. That's where Spider-Man got the symbiote originally.
All right, you have five more words to say.
I'm excited about Infinity War.
Me too.
Okay.
She said you had five words. I had more than
it's
that.
It's just like impossible for us to do both topics.
It's okay.
For 10 minutes.
Let's move on. Go, let's move
go,
on.
Go.
Okay. We're going to talk about John Lasseter.
I'm not going to say anything. I'll let you do it because you have
practiced. Last week, John Lasseter preemptively released a statement to Pixar employees and said he was taking a six-month leave of absence due to what he called missteps. And then he did this in advance of a Hollywood Reporter article that came out detailing sexual misconduct that has been
important
happening.
Important wording.
Yeah, I disagree with people calling it sexual assault because I think assault is a very strong word that should be used appropriately. I agree with sexual misconduct and harassment, sexual harassment for sure. And so that happened.
And then there was an article in Deadline today. Said that it just had a woman who worked in at Pixar who did not allow them to name her name, who was a high up producer or exec there, had a lot to say about it. Said that Disney has known about this and has at times sent chaperones with him to events to make sure he's mm-hmm. never alone, to make sure he doesn't get himself into a bad situation. So it just all of this stuff is. It's really hard to swallow and to figure out how to deal with it when you see somebody like John Lasseter, who I know all three of us have admired. You know, and there's so many people who do admire him. He's created some amazing work. It comes out that he's done these bad things or potentially has done these bad things. And it's like, how do you kind of grapple with that?
Well, interestingly enough, obviously everybody kind of comes out and goes, oh, so see, no, Disney's just as messed up as everyone else, and are you going to stop watching Disney now to protest it? Sarah, I think kind of a really great point is sort of the difference between Johnny Depp and John Lasseter.
Right,
and
so
I think you should highlight
I'm a
that.
Big proponent of protesting with your wallet. A lot of people have been like asking,
AKA Battlefront 2 with EA made a huge difference.
A lot of people are like, should we see Pixar films still? I think there's a really, really huge difference between this case and a lot of other sexual harassment allegations that have been coming out in Hollywood recently, because the problem with boycotting Pixar films is that John Lasseter's victims are also Pixar employees.
Yep.
So by boycotting Pixar films, you're simultaneously hurting his victims, whereas normally if you boycott a film or a TV show or an album by someone who's been accused of sexual misconduct, you are not hurting their victim by not supporting them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think that's a huge point.
Yeah.
To the people in the chat, this is a very common thing. People are like, but he hasn't been proven guilty of these things. That's another really big difference in this case versus a lot of other cases, is that he himself wrote a statement to his company, like, admitting that he's done things wrong, mm-hmm. and he was, he's definitely in some way being forced to take a step back
right.
by everybody else.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just like an unfounded allegation. Like, right. obviously everybody at Disney knows that stuff happens. So to say that he's not been proven guilty, it's like he's admitting it. Like everyone right. else is admitting right. it. It's
but there
like,
are,
definitely
there,
true.
There certainly are levels of things, right? Like misconduct is not abuse. It's not assault. Right, like there are, it's like levels of perjury, right? Like you can fake a signature, or you can pretend to be somebody. There's
all of this stuff that's coming out. It's changing society and the way we are going to have to deal with, like, how you raise boys, really. Like, right. Boys, girls, like, and kind of knowing people's boundaries, whether they're women or whether they're men.
But sometimes I wonder if that's just simply, like, a position of power that corrupts the person,
well,
you know what I mean?
And yeah, well, and that's the main issue with all of these huge men within the entertainment industry, and not only in the entertainment industry, but political, whatever, mm-hmm. but they're all people in positions of power. And that's what's not okay. I mean, this stuff is not okay at all, but then when you use your power to kind of get away with things and then shut people up,
sure.
That's what's not okay. I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope that anybody who is a victim and who feels like he crossed the line, I hope they find peace and that they...
Do they really have a move called... Did they really call it the Lassiter?
Where you turn your head as you hug him so he won't kiss you on the lips.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the Lassiter.
The Lassiter.
We obviously don't have a lot of time to go into this in depth, but I did talk about this at length with Skylar and Andy on the DCast, if you want to download the episode that I was on, because we talked about it for, like, literally half the episode. Basically, my, like... end point is that it's really hard to deal with and it's like an unfortunate situation, but hopefully this leads to more women and people of color having a stronger voice and position at Pixar and Disney, because that's the only way that like things won't become like a male echo chamber boys club,
mm-hmm.
which is probably what caused this in the first place.
Right, probably.
Yep.
And anyway, but also it's well important said, so you guys know, like, because this is something we get accused of a lot, is like we only point out the sunny side of Disney. And as you guys all know, I am a chronic troll, and I love pointing out the negative, but it's important to, it's news. It's Disney news. It's present, and we're just acknowledging it. That's all it is. We're not happy with it. It sucks, obviously. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
And on a lighter note, we are going to talk about Coco. We could do it spoiler-free.
Yeah. I mean, we can do a spoiler-free one now. We've got a few minutes, right?
Yeah.
How we looking in the clock?
We got like 4 minutes. On
real time. Quick one, and then maybe next week we can actually do it, now that everyone will have a couple of weeks by then to have seen it.
Yeah.
And then we can kind of break it down more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then we have, yeah.
Spoiler free review, so you don't have to leave. Oh, that scared me. I was like, what happened?
He was getting it ready. Coco is like the silver lining of like all the negative Pixar info coming out, because Coco is incredible. Increíble.
Okay, chamaco.
But I heard the Frozen short before. I didn't see the Frozen short because it wasn't before my screening, but did you guys see the Frozen short?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I saw Coco again yesterday for my third time, so I saw the Frozen short again. I liked it better the second time.
You've spent an hour now watching
the
Frozen short.
You liked it better
the
second time, the third time not as much. My dad leans over to me after we, because I went and we saw it with my parents, and my dad leans over and goes, that was a long preview. I was like, it's not a preview, Dad. It's just
they need to do more like warnings to people outside the theater. Like there needs to be a sign up that's like, by the way,
I can tell my parents are like, are we watching like a Frozen movie?
We went to a 3 o'clock showing of Coco yesterday, and Coco didn't start till 3:40 because of trailers and the short.
Oh,
wait, was that at an AMC?
Yeah.
Yeah. Same here.
Were you there at the same showing as me?
Oh, that was so funny.
I went to an AMC as well to see it, and it legit didn't start like 40 minutes after like I sat down.
The Frozen short was fine. It was just kind of there.
It was like, yeah. Again, Sarah and I stick strongly to our perspective that the thing we thought we were going to hate the most about Frozen turned out to be the only thing we absolutely loved about Frozen, and that is Olaf.
Right.
He's funny.
Just because Josh Gad's hilarious.
Yeah.
But I didn't think the music was particularly memorable or particularly great. I mean, it was cute, but it was didn't need to be that long. In the end, I don't think I learned anything about any traditions from any walk of life other than like maybe one joke or two.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get it. It's clearly a cash grab, and that's what bugs me.
But Coco was amazing.
Coco, though.
Like, literally, and what's interesting is I have yet to see, like, anybody say that they didn't like it.
We have a friend that you were like, she didn't like it.
This was my only...
She was like, it's exactly like Book of Life, which
is not
true.
Though.
No, it's not like
anybody
Book of
says
Life.
That,
it's not.
If anybody says that, it's like I immediately disregard your
opinion.
She's
the only one.
Forever. They have two central... themes that are the same. One, Dia de los Muertos. And two, a Mexican musician who plays guitar whose family doesn't approve. That's it. That's where all the similarities stop. One is a love story, where the other one is one about chasing your dreams and, you know,
learning
it's about family.
About your family.
Like, those are very different ideologies, number one. And number two, like, the way they go about their sort of, you know, their development into acceptance, because, I mean, obviously they both end with the family, like, ah, you can play music, whatever, is completely different. The adventure is not even close to being the same.
I liked the music in Book of Dead better.
Book of Life.
Book of Life. Book of Life. But
is
yeah,
that
that's
it was
that's
pop music.
It's pop
probably.
Music.
But my biggest thing with Coco, I thought everything was beautiful. The animation was absolutely breathtaking. I never knew you could make wrinkles look so as pretty as
my,
they
my
made Grandma Coco's wrinkles. I was like, oh my gosh. My biggest thing though is it was very predictable. I figured out what twist was going to be. Probably,
I thought the twist was
going
to be
very quickly.
Not what it was. I thought it was going to be about him like getting back. You know what I mean? So, anyways, I won't. That's all.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
All
I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah.
Anyway, yeah, the hairs on her chin. I know that was dope. The biggest difference, by the way, and one of the most important things overall, and this will be the last thing I say on comparison, is that Book of Life is. A movie that has some overall Hispanic qualities to it, but it is not inherently a movie about the culture, nor does it accurately portray the culture consistently, where Coco is 100% accurate, like, or, you know, let's say 98%, because maybe I'm missing something, but it is very, very cemented in Mexican culture, and yet it doesn't rely on that to be a good movie. Whereas, like, for example, Book of Life takes pop culture songs and makes them Spanish, right? It's like Coco is just a good movie that happens to be Mexican. And it's like, you may like that song that they play by the Beatles, but it's cool now because it's Mexicanized. And I don't think that, you know what I mean? Like, it's a very different tone. It's a very different aesthetic. Coco is honestly one of the coolest, most, like, authentic Hispanic movies I think I've seen, where wholeheartedly commits to the culture and yet doesn't rely on it to tell the story. Like, you could easily tell that story, assuming there was, you know, remove the Dia de los Muertos thing and just take the idea of, like, the land of the dead, and you can make it anything. You can make it African, you can make it Asian, and the story would still hold up on its own. It's just even cooler because there happens to be history behind it in Mexico. And I think that's amazing. That's, like, so cool. It's so on the money. It's, like...
the world they created.
I'm proud of it.
The world of the dead. One of the most beautiful things I've seen, like, on screen. It was like in paint.
It's aesthetically
it's so beautiful. The colors.
And by the way, I like Book of Life a lot.
I do too.
I'm not taking away from it. I just want to point out the differences and how much more authentic I feel Coco was to, like, the people it was portraying. Like, Channing Tatum playing a Mexican character, stop it.
Boo.
I'll let you slide this time, but stop it.
No, just
Coco's
stop
Coco's sake.
I'm not letting
you. We can't go back in time.
We can't go back.
Still a good movie.
Sarah, what do you think about Coco?
I loved it. I was letting Leo go off because he's Hispanic. But, no, I loved it. I loved every single part of it. I thought the story was strong. I thought the music was great. I thought the visuals were amazing. I thought the voice acting was awesome.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really good voice acting.
And
that little kid is amazing.
Can I tell you something, man?
It feels
again?
Like classic Pixar.
Can I, like, rant a little bit more?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, until he makes
everyone out there who has an abuelita, you're going to cry. Mm-hmm. Straight up, Coco and the abuela in the movie, it's everyone's grandmother. Like, everyone. At no point will I meet a Latino or Hispanic person who won't agree with that. That is our grandma.
The grandma is just...
She's the best.
She's amazing. I mean, when she...
She gets the
job. She throws her shoe... And then she goes, go get my shoe.
Now go get my shoe. Also, here's another thing I want to say. I said this to Richard last night, and he was like, oh my God, yes. Every character in that movie, I know them. I've met all of them. Like, down to the mariachi that, like, talks to Miguel at the beginning of the movie. I was like, dude, I know that's my friend's uncle, man. And then, like, the aunt, I'm like, yeah, I know that. I know that, Dia. Like, it's so crazy. Like, all of the characters felt so real. And they, like, of course, the voice acting was what made it pop, but it felt so familiar and very grounded in what it should be.
Yeah.
Rap soon, but I love Coco.
I loved that Frida Kahlo was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was so cool.
Sarah, tell your story. Come on.
What story?
The one about last night. I think it's so cool. What? I know you wanted to keep it to yourself, but I think it's so cool.
Oh, no. I mean, and people have been making fun of me also online.
No, it's so cool. It's so
cool.
Well,
first of all, also, my review of Coco has made it into, like, all the commercials for Coco.
Oh, yeah!
Which is awesome.
If you see the commercial, then it's like it's the best like movies and
Sarah Starling. No, but on my last viewing yesterday, I realized that the conductor at the show at the end of the movie is supposed to be Michael Giacchino.
He's conducting.
Who was the composer for the score of Coco, and he also, of course, did like Up. And a lot of other stuff that's not Pixar, yeah. So it's like very clearly supposed to be Michael Giacchino, and I didn't catch it before because it's kind of an intense part of the movie and I wasn't paying attention. And so I double checked with someone at Pixar to make sure I was correct, asked people to send me pictures of the conductor, and then I tweeted out like, oh, guys, did you notice that the skeleton is supposed to be Michael Giacchino? And then he responded to me and was like, that's right. And then he made his profile picture on Twitter the skeleton version of himself.
Like 15 minutes after Sarah tweeted at him.
And I'm like, I did that. I made him do that.
Nice. I think that's such a cool story.
Leo, like, is such a champion for me. I'm like, it's not a big deal.
It's so cool. It's such a cool thing. You were literally the first person to catch it.
No, I really wasn't. Like, that's why I'm saying people are
making
fun of me.
You are the one that caused them to change it, therefore you're the only one that counts.
But, like, people were tweeting at me.
You're the only person in the world that thought.
That is so cute.
People are like, oh, it took you to your third time to notice. And I'm like, well, you didn't tweet about it, so.
Yeah.
Sit down.
Anyway. Easy to say right now. Oh yeah, Sarah, I knew that from the trailer, you dummy.
That's all the time we have for this episode of Disney Movie News, but catch us every Wednesday. We do this every Wednesday. Thanks to everyone who's watching live.
That's right.
Again, I'm Sarah Sterling _ on Twitter, and where can everyone find you guys?
You can find me on Instagram at Mr. Leo Zombie. I would really appreciate a follow. And on Twitter at Leo Zombie.
And you guys can find me all over the interwebs at Keaton Markey, and I would really love the followers, because Pasta still has more followers than me, and I lose sleep over it every night. I know she's a cute dog.
Wait till we do our Star Wars movie.
Thanks for watching. Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.